welcome to worship on this sixth Sunday in Lent. Today we think about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, being hailed by many as the Messiah. So welcome to worship on this Palm Sunday.
Let us draw near to God as we pray. Almighty God, whose love endures forever, who meets us where we are, who meets us as we are, our true selves, flawed and broken, sick and well, sad and joyous, doubtful and sure, but forever held in your steadfast love. As we begin this week, this holy week of contemplation and reflection, guide our thoughts towards the life and teachings of our Saviour Jesus. Show us the way forward and through the difficulties of this life and these troubling times. Lead us towards the gates of your kingdom, and forgive us for all the times when we have failed to follow you. Embolden us to do better in your steadfast love. Like those before us, we come together today in our buildings, in our homes, separated and yet bound always in dedication to your Son Jesus, strengthened in your Holy Spirit and united always. Receive this, our worship, our prayers. And may we, in steadfast love, shout Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who went ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out. Amen.
And so it begins, the roller coaster week of emotions, from celebration and excitement to fear and horror, and then mystery and miracle. For Jesus, it must have been a mixture of emotions as he turned his face towards Jerusalem in readiness to face what he knew would be his fate. He was telling his followers more and more explicitly what was going to happen to him and also to them. And it would be hard for them to take all of this in as they witnessed more of Jesus' miracles and more people wanting to follow Jesus. Not just Jews, but others as well. So by this time, Jesus was leading a cross-section of the population. Jews, Gentiles, outcasts, sinners, and also some Pharisees, although many dared not to own up to this. But even more difficult for the disciples to follow was that in the midst of this excitement and proof that Jesus was the Messiah, lay not only the prediction of his own death, but a promise of what was to come. The introduction of hope in the promise that he would rise again, just as a grain of wheat must be dropped into the ground and die for it to produce a crop and then a harvest. Hope and promise for the future, that through his death the message would not die, but would continue through all the people who now followed him and understood who and what he really was. Hard to understand and hard to accept when you're told, and like many times in life, not really fully understood until it takes place in front of you, and then you remember the words and the promises from before. In all four Gospels, we can feel the tension rising as we move towards the arrival of Jesus in Jerusalem. Passover was a celebration when large crowds would gather, and now on Palm Sunday they are gathering for Passover, and we read about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Those who witnessed or had heard about the miracles which had been performed by Jesus, as well as those who were beginning to understand his message, were calling him Messiah. But a man riding on the colt or a donkey was a very different image from the Messiah they had believed would come to save them. Not a warrior on a handsome steed, not a fighter. Their expected Messiah was supposed to live forever, and here this person was telling them that he was going to die. So although in their hearts they knew that this was the Messiah, it was all very hard to compute. There would be many who had no knowledge of who Jesus was, but who would be caught up in the frenzy and excitement of the occasion and would join in with the shouting and celebration. And we can easily see why, earlier in his ministry, Jesus told people to keep his miracles quiet, not to tell anyone. Because once they took up the cry that the Messiah was present, there could be no real teaching, only fulfillment of erroneous expectations. The arrival of the Messiah, as well as the celebration of the Passover, excitement would be at bursting point, and there was always much to do for Passover. In Exodus 12, we can read details of this preparation. It goes back to the time of Moses. Each family is to choose a young lamb or a goat and kill it so that the family can celebrate. The blood is to be smeared on the doorpost so that God will recognize in which houses his people are living. And God had said to them, "You and your children must abide by these rules forever." So from the time of Moses to the present day, this festival has been observed. If there was a small family, then a lamb or kid would be shared with others, so there was nothing left by the morning. Can you imagine the preparation in all the Jewish households as they selected an appropriate lamb for slaughter, and all the preparations going on in Jerusalem as people arrived for the festival, eagerly anticipating it? In amongst this preparation of the lambs, the storm clouds were gathering over Jesus. Bringing his message to Jerusalem would force the hand of those whom Jesus was challenging. But on what grounds would they challenge him? As the week goes on, we see that there are three main challenges against Jesus. Firstly, that he had threatened to destroy the temple. Secondly, that he claimed to be the Son of God. And thirdly, that he had stirred up people against Caesar. The handling of the accusations and the trial throws up many questions, or it might be more appropriate or more accurate to say that the questionable handling of the accusations throws up many issues. But it is no doubt that for all their own reasons, it was in the best interests of the Jewish authorities and the Roman officials that Jesus should be denounced. How many lambs were being prepared for slaughter, just as Jesus, the Lamb of God, was being prepared? There would be thousands, and in amongst them is the Lamb of God. Picture the scene. The Lamb of God, whose blood was spilled to protect God's children and allow them to have a future, just as the blood of lambs painted on the doorways of the Jews allowed them to escape unharmed from Egypt. On this day, Palm Sunday, it is traditional to give palm crosses. The fronds of the palm tree waved in celebration and rejoicing as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, being fashioned into a cross from which he was hung. So the palm cross encapsulates all the events from the triumphal entry into Jerusalem to the ignominious death on the cross. The same people who had waved the palm branches had called for his crucifixion, but had they forgotten his promise to return in 3 days?
Loving God, you search us and you know us. You speak to us and you listen. Your love brought us into being, and your love wraps us in care forever. We thank you for the gifts given to each one of us, our world, our friends, our families, our homes. We rejoice in your presence in our lives. We bring our words of prayer for ourselves and for our world, near and far. We bring to you our prayers for all those places touched by war and hatred. We bring to you our continuing prayers for all in Ukraine, and those who have fled from it, for those building new lives in foreign lands, for those seeking ways of peace and justice and love. We thank you for your eternal love, and for all who try to spread it through our churches, communities, countries, and our world. Help each of us to understand it, and let it live within us, not as a thought or an idea, but as living, saving hope. We pray for the people who try to live daily by your love, for all who live out its life-giving call to serve, caring for self and neighbour. Help us to know what your love is calling us to do, and change the world for the better. We pray for all the people who seek your love in scripture, experience, religion, nature. May their search be fruitful. May they find help along the way. And may we be a support to all who seek you. We pray for people all over the world who find that words, not love, are used like weapons against them, who are ostracized because of their wealth or background, race, gender, sexuality, ability. Help us to show your love to them and bring peace and justice in your name, that we might be brothers and sisters in love to all who need. All our prayers and all the quiet thoughts in our hearts we bring to you. In Jesus' name, inspired by his love, we pray. Amen.
Let us dedicate our offering.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in dedication we lay down what we have. We lay down what we are. We lay them down before you in the hope that you will take it and use it for the maintenance of your church, the furthering of your mission, and the glory of your kingdom. This day and every day. Amen.
And let's join together in the family prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen.
as we look forward to the week ahead of us, this Holy Week, God, keep us silent in our complaint, in our criticism, in our judging, and in our undermining. This Holy Week, God, keep us noisy in our praise, in our solidarity, in our protest, and in our song. This Holy Week, Jesus, we will walk with you.
Shine upon you.